giving thanks to God. We're going to conclude our series today on thanksgiving. Everybody say thanksgiving. So that means a lifestyle of thanks. It's a big deal. A big deal. So we're going to turn in our Bibles to, if you have your Bible with you, to 1 Corinthians 15:57. We've got the scriptures on the screen just to help you. You can take a screenshot of it or take a note of the scriptures that we share with you today. We believe God will bless and help you with his word today. Amen. And so we said, but let's all read the first scripture and the second scripture together. 1 Corinthians 15:57. It's on the screen if you have it, if you have it in front of you. We're reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 2:14, let's read that. Ready? Read. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Thanks, thanks, thanks. Thanks, as we said before in this teaching series, that thanksgiving that we see in these two powerful verses are connected to victory and connected to triumph. Now, listen to me very carefully, brothers and sisters, if you hadn't been here. We've conveyed before and communicated that this thanksgiving is before the victory is manifested. This thanksgiving is before. So that means thanks be to God who gives us. That's a present tense continuum. Present tense continuum. That means that access to victory. Victory is a grace. That access to victory comes after you give thanks. That access to victory comes after you've given thanks. Somebody got it. So thanks be to God who gives us the victory. That means it's present tense, it's present help, it's present grace. See, our faith is giving God thanks even when the car breaks down. The refrigerator goes on the blink. Even if the marital or family situation is in disarray. Come on now. Even if your financial situation is discombobulated. Thank you. Thank you, Father, that you give me the victory. Through who? Through your own smarts, your own intelligence, your own figuring it out? No. It's through our Lord Jesus Christ. That means that's your access point to his victory. Because he has won the ultimate victory. He shares with you his victory. That's grace. Grace is everything that God has provided and promised. So grace makes victory available to us, but it's our faith that takes it. It's our faith that activates and accesses it. Well, that was enough for you to comb your hair and come to church this morning. Your faith activates it. Your faith gives access to the empowerment of grace. One of grace's empowerments is victory. Everybody say victory. But it's thanksgiving. Victory. Woo. And like that song, you know, we've said it sung before, thanks be to God who gives me the victory, gives me the victory, gives me the victory. Now thanks be to God who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ over sickness and disease. My God gives me the victory, gives me the victory. Come on, you got to sing the verse. You got to sing the verse at home. You get tempted to be a victim and start acting like a victim. You got two V's. They don't stand for victory. They look at, they see your glasses. You got two V's up there. You're like, I'm walking around like I'm a victim. You need to get that word in your mouth. Victory. Victory every day. Victory every night. Victory on the left. Victory on the right. Victory, victory, victory. Like a cheerleader doing a cheer at a football game or something. Victory, victory, victory. Fight, fight, fight. Victory, victory, victory. Day and night. I wasn't a cheerleader. I played football. But, amen. You can hear him say that stuff. Somebody say hallelujah. Now thanks. Now thanks. Now thanks. Come on now. It's got to hit you, some of you, square between your eyes. Now thanks. Now thanks be to God who always, everybody say always, always, always leads us what? In triumph. In who? His triumph becomes your triumph when you give that thanks now. Always, always, like a song says, I triumph again and again and again. Always, always, in Jesus I always win. Always. So thanksgiving means that we're always thanking God. We're giving thanks. Even when we see defeat, we thank God for the triumph now. Even when we see the victim or that we're going to be victimized, we thank him for the victory when? Now. Praise God. Everybody see that? So the influence and the implication that not just thanks or thanksgiving after the victory or after the triumph, but before. Thanksgiving accesses and activates grace. So how do we increase our capacity to receive from God? We know what the economy's doing. We know what healthcare costs are doing. We know what gas prices sometimes fluctuate and do. We know what grocery prices are. Are you dependent on that? Or are you depending on receiving from God? See, your faith grows in its greater dependency upon God and his word and his will for your life. Amen. God becomes your source and your only source for everything you need. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So how do you increase your capacity to receive from God? Because the giving part of God is never the problem. It is always on the receiving side. It's always on the receiving side. So you have to do what? Cultivate a lifestyle of what? Thanksgiving. Cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving. What's a lifestyle look like? We talked about it last week, but we're going to give you a little bit more about that. But a lifestyle means that you don't go the whole day without saying thank you. You don't go into God's presence without the password, Psalms 100 verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with what? Praise. That means your password to his presence is what? Thank you. Now, mentors have taught me, and we've learned from different teachers and pastors that we sat under and sit under, that you should at least thank the Lord 10 to 15 times in every morning before you get to asking him anything. Don't start running in saying, Lord, I need this, I need this, I got to have this. And you walk out of his presence and never say thank you. You never walk into his presence saying thank you. You never walk out of his presence saying thank you. That's going to diminish your capacity to receive from God. I'm teaching better than y'all saying amen. All right, Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by him, let us continue to offer the sacrifice of praise. Because they run together to God. That is, what is it? What is it? The fruit of our lips, what? Giving what? Thanks to his name. That's specific. Faith is focused and specific. There's a specificity to faith. He says you give thanks for his name. To his name. You give thanks to his name. You're not giving him thanks for what he has done, because some people get religious. Well, thank you for waking up this morning. Thank you that I got the activity in my limbs. Thank you. That's okay, but that's not what it's saying, doing sacrifice. The sacrifice is thanking him for who he is, what his name means to you and to the church, to the body of Christ. And so the Old Testament system, they offered animal sacrifices, but the New Testament system is that we offer spiritual sacrifices. We do what? We give thanks to his name as a sacrifice of praise. You're driving down the street, you're stuck in 410 or 1604 or I-10, I-35, I-37, 281 traffic, and you're saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to thank you, Lord, for your great name. I just want to thank you that you're my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. You're my Jehovah Rohi. I shall not lack. I thank you, Lord, that I do not lack for ability. I thank you that I do not lack for opportunity. I thank you that I do not lack for money. I never lack for money. I do not lack for peace. I do not lack for strength. Thank you, Lord. Move over to Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Thank you that you're my light. Thank you that you're my salvation. The Lord is, you are right now, the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So I thank you that you're the strength and stronghold of my life. You're heading to a meeting. You're heading to a doctor's meeting. You're heading to a conference that may not be always good, and you already know some tough things are going to be discussed, or maybe some tough decisions that have to be made about your health. You're saying, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. Praise God. Psalms 46:1. God is my refuge. Thank you, Father God, that you're my refuge and my strength. A very present a time of need, a time of trouble. You're a very present help. I go down in Hebrews 13. I said, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my, I thank you that you're my helper. You're my helper in the time of trouble. You're my helper in my time of need. Thank you. Thank you. All right, next slide, guys. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What does spirit-filled thanks living look like? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation or debauchery or foolishness, but be filled with the Spirit. Everybody say, be filled with the Spirit. So in other words, that's a command. That's a directive. In other words, don't walk around life acting like a silly drunk on your circumstances, intoxicated with your challenges and your circumstances. Because a lot of times people just want to tell how I'm feeling, what I'm going through, what's going wrong with me, what's wrong with me. Well, this is a part of worship, your worship lifestyle, brothers and sisters, a spirit-filled worship lifestyle. What does worship do? Worship, I'm glad you asked. Worship helps you zoom out. Zoom out from what's wrong with you and what's wrong with your circumstances, and zoom in on what's right with God and right about God. Everybody say zoom out. And then zoom in on God. Turn to somebody next to you and say, you need to zoom out and zoom in on God. Praise God. So what does this do? He said, be filled with the Spirit. What happens when you're filled? Look at verse 19. Speaking to one another in what? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, what's the last song you sung or the last melody you made in your heart to the Lord? Now, people can easily pop on a radio station, Christian radio station. They can pop on their iTunes or their music library in their own phone, and they can listen to music, and maybe they can sing songs about the Lord. But when's the last time you sung a song or made a melody in your heart to the Lord? Come on now. He says singing and making melody. First he starts with speaking. Psalm, spiritual poem, ode. It comes right out of your spirit. It doesn't come out of your head. There's 150 psalms in the book of Psalms, but there's still songs never spoken. There's still psalms never sung. They come right out the fax machine of facsimile machine of heaven into your heart. And you sing them out of here. And then hymns and spiritual songs. Everybody say it with me. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So that comes after you're filled with the Spirit. That's one of the byproducts and benefits and blessings of being filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. And he said, singing, making hell in your heart to the Lord. Verse 20, giving thanks always for what? All things. Giving thanks how much? Always. For all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the three characteristics of being filled and flowing with the Holy Spirit. The first characteristic is speaking psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. A song in your heart to the Lord. Everybody say a song in my heart to the Lord. Secondly, our heart is thankful and expressive of thanks. Yes, you give thanks for all God's blessings. You can even give thanks for every test. How do you know you're spirit-filled? When you're facing a trial or test, you're thanking God for the opportunity. You start rejoicing and giving thanks even at the onset, and you see it coming down the road. Oh, here comes trouble. Here comes the trial. Here comes the test. And what do? If you're spirit-filled and under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you say, thank you, Father God. This is another opportunity. For you to get the glory in and through my life. This is another opportunity. Thank you, Father God, for your word to become true and manifested on my behalf. This is another opportunity for Jesus and God, you, Father, to get the glory in and through this test and trial. Now, when you're not spirit-filled, when you're walking around like a silly drunk, you say, oh, my God, this is happening again. Remember we said it before, doubt despairs, complains, worries, and is sad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. I'll say it again. Doubt despairs. Oh, my God, it's happening again. Oh, my God, the financial attack is coming again. Oh, my God, the physical ailment is kicking in again. Oh, my God, we can't seem to never get through this. That's doubt. Everybody say, don't be a doubter, a pouter, or a fire putter outer. Now say it all real fast. Don't be a doubter, pouter, a fire putter outer. Okay. I got to have fun because I have to look at your faces sometimes, and sometimes I don't wonder what's going on here. Don't be a doubter. Don't be a powder. Don't be a fire putter out. Okay? So doubt despairs, complain. So the first thing you start complaining. Oh, my God, it's happening again. Why is this happening to us? We don't deserve this. We deserve better. Man, you're slipping into the wrong ditch. Pride and self-pity. Y'all hear you going home yet? Hallelujah. So you know your spirit filled when the song's in your heart to the Lord. Number two, that you're thankful, not just for the blessings, but for also the tests. You don't give thanks for what the devil's done, but you give thanks for the word and the opportunity to see God work. And for that fact, you know God can make all things work together for your good. Come on, say thank you, Lord. Number three, a yieldness. Verse 21, and a submissive to the Lord and one another. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Or that's the deep reverence, respect, and honor and awe of God. I don't want to offend God. I don't want to offend people. I want to have a clear conscience. And that means you yield it. That means you listen. God wants the church to be a listening church. God wants the Christian to be a listening Christian. One of the three things he said to every church in Revelations 2 and 3. What did he say? I know your works. So he wants us to be a working church. And then in number two, he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So he wants us to be a listening church. Amen. And then number three, he said, he that overcomes. He wants us to be an overcoming church, an overcoming Christian. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So that means you're submitted to how God wants things to move and manifest and mature in your life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You got to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. Yield to the unction of God. Yield personally. You got to personally say, yes, Lord, I subordinate myself to you and the Holy Spirit. I submit myself under the mighty hand of God, that I will minister under the anointing of the Holy Spirit as you choose, not as I choose. Praise the Lord. There's a yieldedness. When you yield to the Holy Spirit, you get along with other people. Some people don't get along with other people. They're argumentative. They're always debating. They always got a rebuff or rebuke or a recoil against people and input in their lives. So they're not listening. They're not submissive or yielded. When the Holy Spirit has your heart's tender, sensitive, and submissive. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Well, this is real good stuff today, ain't it? Hey, praise God. Colossians 3:16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. In what? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. See, there it is again. Singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. When's the last record or recording of heaven you singing from your spirit to the Lord? I'm not a singer, Pastor. No. It said when your spirit, you have that capability. When you have the Holy Spirit, you have that capability to make music, to make melody in your heart. The Father likes singing. The Father likes singing. I know we're working on some people because they got their hands down and their lips closed during praise and worship. But the Father likes singing. He doesn't want you just to listen to the music that's spiritual, that's edifying, that's faith-based. He wants you becoming the music. He wants you becoming the melody. He's inviting us this morning to become the melody. He said, I want to hear my son. I want to hear my daughter sing from their spirit. Praise God. Singing with your heart to the Lord. He said, and whatever you do in word or deed. Oh, that's an all-encompassing verse. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to the Father through him. Somebody say, praise God. So we see another example of what? Singing, song in the heart, giving of thanks, simply go hand in hand. If you are filled and flowing with the Holy Spirit, you will experience this praise and this thanksgiving. If you don't, then you're simply not filled and flowing with the Holy Spirit. You're invited today. Amen? Look what it says. What's our caution in the scripture? 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Don't quench, suppress, or subdue the Holy Spirit. In other words, don't put duct tape on the Holy Spirit. Don't muzzle or mute him. Everybody's got a TV remote, and you push mute. You can't hear anything. So you don't want to push the mute button and say, Holy Spirit, I'm muting you. Because he's always going to prompt you to worship. He's always going to prompt you to speak. He's going to always prompt you to listen to what he's got to say to help you. Holy Spirit is 24/7, 365. He never sleeps. He's always standing by to help. But some people shun his help or try to shut off his help. That's what this quench the Holy Spirit is. That means to cut off the flow or to extinguish the flame. It's like you're taking a fire extinguisher and says, I know you're burning inside me, Holy Spirit. I know you're not just a visitor, but you're a permanent resident in my heart. So I'm putting a fire extinguisher on the flame. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Look at what it says in Passion. Never restrain or put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at something else in 1 Corinthians 14. Y'all good? We've got a few more scriptures here. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak unto men but to God. For no one understands him, howbeit in the Spirit. Everybody say in the Spirit. He speaks mysteries. So you speak, but you're not speaking to people when you're speaking in tongues. You're speaking to who? Directly to God. Now, who in here can dial President Donald J. Trump right now on their cell phone? And if you want to speak to him, it's probably going to take you a minute. Maybe a month even. At best. But you know the creator of the universe. The ancient of days. The one who was, who is to come. The Lord God Almighty. Whew, glory to God. The Most High God, the El Elyon, come on now. You can talk to him who created the universe. Directly to him. Never get a busy signal. He says, well, I'm too busy. You can talk directly to him. You have a heavenly language. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Everybody say, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. So he could talk directly. He said, howbeit in the Spirit you speak mysteries. Now, these mysteries are secret truths and hidden things. These secret truths, or one commentator says, Bible scholar says, divine secrets. Divine secrets. Now, these are not secrets hidden from you, but they're hidden for you. And so we say it like this in prayer sometimes. Everything gets done by what? Speaking. So sometimes you need to speak it out in the Spirit before you see it pan out in the natural. Whew, glory to God. You need to speak it out. There's a mystery. Because we're made in the image and likeness of God. And 11 times in Genesis 1, he said, God said, then he saw. He said before he saw. So the principle is the same whether you're speaking in the Spirit or speaking in the natural. All words are inconsequential. That means what you say is what you get. What you got is what you said. So a lot of times we need to speak out divine secrets that are not hidden from us but hidden for us. Hallelujah. And speak those things into existence. Woo. Hallelujah. All right, let's skip down to verse 14. All right. Ready? It says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. So there's a head language, and then there's a heart language or a spirit language. But my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? The conclusion then. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. Then in other words, I'm going to pray in English or Spanish, whatever your prominent language is. I'm going to pray in English, but I'm going to pray in the Spirit. But he uses the word Spirit first. So the not only the challenge, but the invitation today is, how much are you praying in the Spirit? Now he goes on to take it to a next level. Everybody say next level. He says here, he said, I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding. So you think about 50% of your praying, 50% of your singing should be spiritual, from your spirit. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, who will occupy the room of the unformed, say amen at your giving of thanks. What are you doing? You're giving thanks. Since he does not understand what you say, for indeed you give thanks well. But the other is not edified. So we always say when you take a mission trip, you're going to travel somewhere, you don't know what you're eating. You don't know who cooked it. Like you can't understand how they describe the meal. You need to be praying in tongues over that food. You better be blessing that food. That means sanctifying it to your body so you don't get any food-borne allergies or food poison. Woo, glory to God. Now, we have missionary friends, and they tell us sometimes they put stuff in front of them. They don't even know what it is. They don't even look like. They don't even want to ask. They just start praying in the spirit because it's food hungry. They eat it. They could be eating monkey meat or snakes and stuff. They just pray in the spirit over it. But you bless and you give thanks well in the spirit. How many of y'all getting something out of this today? All right, let's keep going. Next slide. Look at this. Psalms 107. Let's all read that together. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Oh, this is, look at that. Look at that. Look at that. There's a holy rhythm. Psalms 107. Oh, that men would give thanks. It's almost like the psalmist shaking us awake, reminding us that gratitude is not passive. Gratitude is not passive. So when we say thanks living, gratitude is not passive. Don't just be a thanks miser. Don't hold back thanks. They cooked you a good meal for Thanksgiving. Don't just say thank you once, but thank the Lord and thank them again. Praise God. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. So it's a choice. It's a weapon. It's a way back home. Thanksgiving and giving thanks to God isn't a mood. Because some people follow their emotions so much and how they feel. When they feel like it, they'll say, thank you. I appreciate you. But sometimes it has to be a sacrifice where you don't have it in your senses or feelings to say thank you. You got to say thank you. Even if it's a tough word that you got corrected on about from the Word of God, you say thank you for that. Thank you for that correction. You know, when they used to pledge fraternities, I did too in college, and I'm not proud of it, but I'm just saying I did it, but back then. And so they'd spank you or do something crazy to you. And you're supposed to, we call it hazing. I'd never do it again. I wouldn't recommend you do it. But they haze you. And you're supposed to respond by what? Thank you, sir. May I have another one? That goes against my crawl right now. We're supposed to say thank you. Not because you're in the mood. Amen. It's a movement in your heart. It's a movement in your heart. We've got to be a church that's filled with thanksgivers. Addicted thanksgivers. Thank you. Thank you for the message. Thank you for that word that you shared today. Thank you for the offering teachings that you shared today. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You thank the Lord, but then you can correspondingly say thank you. Because you're increasing your capacity to receive more. So it's just like hazing, but on the positive side, you're saying, thank you, Lord. May I have another? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So everybody say, thank you, Lord. It's a movement that gets in your heart. When life presses into our minds, naturally drift toward what's missing. Psychologists call this negativity bias. Now, we did this fast in the beginning of the year, fasting from negativity. Seems like we need to do it again sometimes. But that's a psychological thing where your mind is always bent toward what's missing, what's wrong, what's not right about this meal. We complain about what doesn't taste good or what's funny. We're not thankful for the other 8 dishes we stuffed down our mouth that was good and didn't taste funny. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I didn't like that. Why do you pick out the thing you don't like? There's 12 dishes in front of you. Come on, am I talking to somebody in here this morning? We get wrapped around the axle about the one thing that's wrong. The brain's tendency is to cling to the hard things, but the scripture pushes back, teaches us a better way. Give thanks for his goodness. Give thanks for his wonderful works. Give thanks to God, and gratitude is how we realign with reality. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Praise God. Because God has been better than we have been to ourselves. Goodness has followed us. Mercy has outrun our mistakes. Grace has refused to quit. So what's the principle here this morning? We thank God for what he's done and who he is. Faith rises when we do for what he will do. Thankfulness opens the windows of the soul and allows hope back in. So today, lift up your eyes. Count the mercies. Now, I would ask you a question that's bold, but also daring and challenging. How many Thanksgiving opportunities have you missed this past week? Catch up. Are you behind on your Thanksgiving? Name the miracles. Remember the moments God carried you when you didn't even have strength to pray. Give thanks and watch your heart rise. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, let's look at this principle one more time in granular, a little bit granular. The next slide. Y'all good? Gratitude is a spiritual force. Because, see, giving thanks to God is an overlooked principle. We never want to overlook this again. Gratitude is a spiritual force. Gratitude attracts the supernatural. Gratitude positions you for God to move. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Amplified Classic. Thank God in everything. No matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks. For this is God's will for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will. When you choose gratitude and give thanks to God, you're stepping directly into the will of God, and heaven responds to his will. Can somebody say amen? When you choose gratitude, you're not choosing just to be positive. You're signaling heaven. He said, Heaven, what does it say? Psalms 22:3, Amplified Classics. But you are holy, O you who dwell in the holy place where the praises of Israel are offered. Your gratitude and giving thanks to God invites his presence. Philippians 4:6, New Living Translation says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Amen. Thanksgiving is proof of your belief. Once you prayed, it's already done in the spirit. Now thank him in advance. Somebody say praise the Lord. John 6:11, you see Jesus in action here. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he gave thanks. He did what? He redistributed them to the disciples, and the disciples, those sitting down, and likewise he did the same thing with the fish. As much as he did, he gave thanks for it. Jesus thanked God before the miracle happened. The thanksgiving came before the multiplication. You waiting to rise, you waiting to increase, give thanks. And we know about the 10 lepers in Luke 15. I'm not going to read it because of time. There were 10 lepers. And they said, they stood afar off and said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." And he told them, "Go and show yourself to the priests and offer up the sacrifice that Moses commanded." So as they went, the Bible said they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. Their leprosy was cleansed as they went. As they went, they were cleansed. He said, but only one came back and fell at Jesus' feet and gave him thanks. And Jesus offers us insight into how he responds. He said, where are the other nine? Why is it only one person that came back and gave thanks? And this person is even a stranger. He's not even a covenant. He's a Samaritan. He's not even in covenant with God yet, but he's a Samaritan. And he said, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. See, one gave thanks, but the other nine only were cleansed. The one got completely whole. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand to our feet right now and thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Come on, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for taking us this far this year. Thank you, Lord, for the church to hear the word and to be reminded of spiritual truths and principles to practice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now we have one more slide, a confession. I don't know if y'all cut it off yet, so we're going to. You can just repeat after me, or if you can get back, there it is. One more, down at the bottom. Praise God. We're going to say this confession together. There it is. Okay. All right, let's ready. Say it together. Ready? Read. I praise the Lord for his goodness. I sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. I thank him for the spiritual and material blessings in life. I thank God for his protection and care. I will bless God with the Spirit. I will give thanks well. I will let the word of Christ dwell in me richly. I benefit from teaching and admonishing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I sing with grace in my heart to the Lord. Whatever I do in word or deed, I do in the name of the Lord Jesus. I give thanks to God the Father by him. I am being filled with the Holy Spirit regularly. I speak in the Spirit. I sing in the Spirit. I make melody in my heart to the Lord. I am thankful and grateful in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now just lift your hands and thank God. Lift your hands and thank God. Thank you in your own language and on your own way, or you can do it in tongues. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make an agreement with God that I'm going to be an addicted thanksgiver. I'm not going to hold back your praise. I'm going to be thankful for in the good times and bad times and everything in between. I'm going to be thankful and grateful for the little things and the small things and all the big things that you bring. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one look around unless you have to go to the bathroom.